Well, good morning, everybody. And welcome to this moment when nobody else is telling me what I have to say. For the last time, I have this freedom. In 1991, just a few hundred meters down the road, at what was then the Wakeman School, now part of the Sixth Form College, the Barnabas Church was meeting there. It didn't have a proper building. We had a rented building, which was too small for Sundays. And on a particular Sunday in 1991, I was appointed an elder in Barnabas Community Church by the then leader, a man called Brent Rich, sadly deceased, who led the church for about 6 years. And on that Sunday, this text was read. It'll come up on the screen for me. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And this text has lived over my life for the last 33 years. Then I was young. Now I am old. But there was a commission there. You'll notice in that text that it's not just what you say, it's how you live as a leader. Watch your life and doctrine, live in purity, setting a good example. These have been weighty words on my shoulders for over three decades, and I'm not always sure I've lived up to them, but that's been my goal. And I was commissioned to be an elder who focused particularly on preaching and teaching, and I did a little calculation this week, and I calculated that I have spoken at Barnabas in one form or another approximately 850 times since then as an elder. And you will be relieved to know this is the last as an elder. Time passed. 3 years later in 1994, Brent Rich, having stepped down for various reasons, moved on to other ministry. I was then appointed to lead the church eldership team. A weighty responsibility. It meant giving up the possibility of a teaching career, which had opened up before me and was a possibility. There was a big decision to turn that down. The family, Jane, was with me in heart and soul in that decision, and we dedicated ourselves to this church and to working in this church. During the first decade, there were six things that I particularly focused on. They're coming up in the image on the screen now. The first, self-evidently, was systematic, respectful, comprehensive, clear and simple Bible teaching. There is no substitute for that to build a local church. The second was to find a building. We didn't have a building. We rented some rooms in upstairs rooms above a pub down by the Welsh Bridge. And so it was in 1996 that we came to this building. And tremendous sacrifices were made to buy this building. Hundreds of thousands of pounds were raised by church members. In fact, that number's in excess of 1 million now. And in those days, the trustees, including myself and my wife, because of the nature of the loans we were taking out, had to put their houses down as collateral in case the loans failed. Such was the level of investment of the leaders, the trustees, and the members to get this amazing building. Thirdly, I was very focused that we should be a truly charismatic church, not just in name only, but actually believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit could live within us and be a reality in our gathered worship and through spiritual gifts and in our daily lives. And that was a key value. And we needed an outreach strategy. We didn't have an outreach strategy when I started leading the church. And several of us went down to Holy Trinity Brompton. We discovered the Alpha Course and introduced course-based friendship evangelism, which is now represented by Christianity Explored. And we've followed that track for all these years with good results. And then a focus on prayer. God called me to make prayer a focus. Sometimes leaders don't pray much if you look behind the scenes. But I wanted to be a leader who truly prayed and gave time to prayer. We started an early morning prayer meeting in January 1999, which continues to this day, and many other prayer initiatives have followed. And then there was a desire to do something in the community. What is it that we should do? We had no impact in the community at all in the early days. And I felt the Lord lead me to do something rather strange. These were in the days when the financial services were being deregulated. They'd been deregulated by the Conservative government in the 1980s, and people were beginning to be able to get credit. So I did a little experiment one day. I went up and down Pride Hill from the bottom to the top, and I went into every major shop, and I said, could you give me a store card? That was the form of credit you could get in those days. Yes, how many hundreds of pounds could you give me? And they said, well, £200. What credit references will you need? Well, we won't need any credit references. We just need your name and address. And I went from the bottom to the top of Pride Hill. And by the time I got to the top of Pride Hill, I realized I could have more than £5,000 worth of credit without any credit reference. And I had a premonition, a sense of urgency that something was going to change in our country. We were going to sink into terrible debt as individuals. So I looked around for an initiative that could begin to address this, and we found something in Derby called the Basics Bank, which is the precursor of Food Bank, and we started it in 1998. And the rest, of course, is history. But our vision went beyond the local church. And there are three other things that come up in the next slide that we focused on in the coming years. The first was the extraordinary contact with Ukraine. Many of you know the story all too well. Ray and Beryl are here this morning. But actually, God gave me a prophetic vision in the very early days and showed me that we should be connected to the country of Ukraine, and we formed a charity and developed it systematically over the years since then. And then also, we got involved in church planting. We planted what became Hope Church. We planted a church in Whitchurch called Beacon. We planted a church in Wrexham through other people, but our resources, called Gateway. And then another church was planted in Admaston, which came out of what was then North Shrewsbury Community Church. And so there was a season of church planting that took place in those days. And then finally, in that period, I felt it was necessary, and the other elders with me, that we should join a movement. We were a fellowship on our own. We'd started as just an autonomous fellowship on our own. It's a nice feeling when you start, but it's a very insecure feeling as you go along. What happens if the leaders start making mistakes? What happens if their doctrine goes off the rails? What happens if there are conflicts or difficulties? Where are the training resources? Where is the wider network? Where is the wider mission? None of these questions could be answered. And so we joined a movement called New Frontiers, which now has moved into different groups, and our group is called Christ Central Churches. During this time, the trustees did me a great favor. I had a sense that I was going to be involved in Bible teaching on a wider scale, and I asked them for this favor. I said to the trustees, will you sponsor me to study a degree by distance learning? I'd never had the opportunity to study theology by distance learning. My studies had been in different areas. And they sponsored me during that period to do a whole degree by distance learning to develop my understanding of biblical topics, and for that I'm very appreciative. Then in 2007 came a very important and extraordinarily challenging personal situation in our family. And that is that my wife Jane started suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME. She was diagnosed by the end of the year by a consultant in the hospital with ME and has, in varying degrees, suffered from that illness ever since. She's online right now. She's with us in spirit, but she's not here with me now, which is a great sadness. This was and has been the most challenging issue that I and we have faced, is how to balance life, family, marriage, ministry, and I had many uncertainties about how to move forward in that situation. But I want to give great credit to Jane, whose faith has been robust, who's followed the Lord wholeheartedly despite an incredibly difficult journey with ME during the years. And I'm so glad she's here with us now online. Ministry moved forward to things outside the church. And the next slide just illustrates some things that I've been involved with. Many of you will know this, and I don't need to spend much about time on it. But over the years, various other things opened up. The New Frontiers movement asked me to assist with a social action project to help the churches with social action in about 2010. And a charity was formed out of that, which I led for 10 years, called Jubilee Plus. Then in 2014, Christ Central, our movement, asked me to head up their training program based in Sheffield called the School of Leadership. That was an important decision and a very important investment of my time. And there are now training bases that we've set up in Mexico, the USA, Canada, Tanzania, Zambia, and Ghana, and other bases to be set up from that initiative. And then finally, to speak to you briefly about something that God spoke to me about at this time, about 2014. And I've mentioned this before, but I just mentioned it again, because this is a very remarkable story. At roughly this time, I was in Kenya, in a very rural location, doing some training. And the pastor said to me after the service, there's a young boy who wants to spend some time with you. So I just stepped aside with this young lad. He'd just been converted to Christianity from Islam, from a very, very poor family. And we started talking, and I was trying to find points of communication with him, which were difficult to find. Premiership football is always a good one, and that's where we started. And then I noticed his phone. And I asked him about his phone. This is an uneducated, rural Kenyan boy with no money. And he could describe to me in great detail how he could use his phone and the different apps on the phone and what transactions he could do and which markets he could get to. And I thought, wow, the smartphone is the future for the developing world, as well as for us. And an idea came in my mind. I'd always had a desire to provide basic, simple, passage-by-passage teaching resources for pastors and leaders in the developing world. And I'd had this idea in my mind for about 20 years, and I suddenly realized it can be done on the smartphone, and it can be done through an app. And so I set about on a very strange journey. I was praying about it. I spoke to Jane. I spoke to three other people in the missionary world. And this is what happened. The Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, start preparing the material, but don't tell anyone what you're doing. And so I took the four Gospels, which was where I wanted to start, and I started writing talks as if I was going to deliver them on video via a smartphone to that boy in Kenya. And for 2 years, secretly, I wrote talks. I didn't tell anybody. Here are my notebooks. By the end of 2 years, there were 184 half-hour talks in my notebooks, handwritten. And I said, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. And then he said to me, now you can share it with other people. So I shared it with the church leadership team, and in May 2017, I came to a members' meeting in this room, and I shared this idea. just very generally. Within a month, I'd received financial donations of £50,000. We hadn't spoken about money in the members' meeting at all. People just started giving money. And so from that point, I developed a project which became known as Word Online, which is a living project now. It's launched in the autumn of 2020. Some of you are familiar with it, wordonline.org, if you go online. And that's a project that I'm still working on. And what the Lord seems to be saying to me, we've got all of the Gospels, we've got all of Acts, I've recorded Romans and Galatians, I'm going to record 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians very shortly. But the goal is to record passage-by-passage interpretation of every passage in the whole New Testament, including the book of Revelation. So that's what I'm going to be doing in the next few years, and distributing this through the app, through the phone, and through other devices worldwide. So I want to thank you for being on that journey. Without this church family, that would never have happened, because that £50,000 kick-started the project. It would never have started without that incredible, miraculous, and remarkable event. And sometime soon, a business card, a bit like the one you're going to see on the next slide, will come your way. These are in draft form now, because the donor who's helping me at the moment has a time-limited period. Another 2 years is going to help fund the project, and after that, we're on our own. So I'm going to be coming to the church in the next few months and saying, would some members help us with £10 a month or £20 a month? But moving on. As I step down, I have many debts of thanks for the friendship of the church, for the fact the church has been the community in which my family has grown and developed, for all sorts of colleagues in ministry. I'm not going to name anyone because inevitably I'd forget somebody, from elders to trustees and all sorts of other colleagues, for the incredible financial support for the church over the years, for the incredible prayers for me and for Jane. I want to thank my three daughters, Esther, Anna, and Amy, for walking the journey of faith with me through all the years. And thank you to Barnabas for being a place where I can exercise my ministry over more than 3 decades. I've appreciated it. Today, I'm stepping down from eldership. I made the decision last August, and I'm stepping into some new things. I feel it's the right decision. I've stepped down from all the different charities that I'm involved with, BCP, the Church Charity, and Bread Trust. But I'm not giving up my membership, and I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. But I won't be at the front unless I'm asked to preach. But you won't see me at the front in any other context. I've got a lot of confidence in the future of this church, in the eldership under Dave's leadership, in the staff, in BCP, in the directors, in Bread Trust. I think there's a great future for this church. And over the decades, I've learned something very interesting about church life, which I want to illustrate by this next slide. I've invested money from time to time on the stock market, so I've followed stock market with great interest, and I have a financial advisor I talk to about it. And the stock market goes up and down. It's not an even line. But my financial advisor always tells me, if the product is good, it will grow in value over time. You can be sure of that. There will be crashes. We had a big one in COVID. We had a big one in the financial crash in 2008 and various other things. But the product will grow. Now, the same thing applies to churches. If the product is good, if the values are good, if the leadership is good, if the spiritual life is strong, the church will continue to develop across time, even though there will be ups and downs. And this church has experienced some ups and downs. And during the COVID crisis, we had multiple difficulties that shook the church. But it rebounded. And it rebounded because God's grace is here, working, and the DNA, the values in the church are strong enough to withstand the pressures that come and go. And so that's how I see Barnabas. Now, there is a danger of retirement. And this is a danger that I'm very fearful of. Because over the years, there's been a little story in the church that when I was leading, whenever anyone came up to retirement, I'd be knocking on their door and suggesting ways they could use their time which didn't involve the golf course and international holidays and extensive leisure, ministries in the church. But now I suddenly realize when I'm writing this talk, this could happen to me. And so if you approach me with an idea about some ministry in the church, don't be surprised if I look shifty and look the other way, look at my watch, and suddenly remember an urgent appointment somewhere else. So what am I doing? Am I retiring? Not really. When I was preparing this talk, a member of this church sent me the following photo, which is just going to come up on the screen now. He was driving along and he saw the number plate in front of him. And he sent me this photo. The number plate has my initials MC, my age, 64, and then just for clarification, my middle initial in the right-hand one, MLC. And the car is moving. It's on the road. And so am I. What am I going to do during the next few years? I'm going to work a few less hours. I'm going to have more time to invest in my family, in Jane, the children, the grandchildren, and the wider family, which I'm looking forward to. I'm also going to be writing and teaching on some contemporary cultural issues which affect the church, which I'm researching at the moment. I'm also helping as an advisor in a big project for urban mission in the called Proximity, which is going to be launched next June and is going to be developed by the Message Trust in Manchester. I will continue teaching the School of Leadership until June 2025. I'm stepping down from there as well. And of course, I'll be working on Word Online because I've got a lot more work to do there. Because my vision is to equip the incredible number of churches in the developing world that are growing fast but have very, very little resources and whose leaders are really hard-pressed when it comes to preaching the Bible accurately. That's my mission. And here's a text for you as I finish. This is for the church. Philippians 3, 10 to 14. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote that as an older man in prison. He wasn't sure whether he was going to get out of prison. And he said, there's more work for me to do. So I feel there's a lot more work for me to do. Doors are opening up in all sorts of different places for me, and I'm going to be sharing prayer requests with the church from time to time. But for our church, the journey is not over. There's an awfully good future ahead of us. Many things are in place for further growth and development. And you're all part of that process. So don't ease up. It's time to press on. Some years ago, I was reading in a French devotional book something very interesting. And I came across a statement with which I'm going to conclude. It's going to come up on the screen now. It's in French, and I'll translate it for you. I've written it here It's a motto that I use for my life. Je suis resté fermement, mes pas n'ont quitté les voies que tu m'as ordonnées. Being translated, I have decided firmly that my feet won't quit from the road or the path which you have ordained for me. Thank you.